This is Serena, and I will be reading from Jonathan Franzen's The Corrections, pages 521 through 526 in the paperback. Due to the length of the passage I hope to discuss, I will be excising certain paragraphs in my reading, as well as all of page 524. I hope this will not be too confusing to follow, but I do apologize for making things more complicated than they might otherwise be. When he was gone, and she was alone in the basement, she went to Alfred's laboratory with a flashlight, knelt among the U-Ban cans, and examined the underside of the bench. There, in shaggy pencil, was a heart the size of a human heart. DA plus DL. She slumped onto her heels, her knees on the stone-cold floor. Little Rock, seniority, simpler if I just quit. Absently, she raised the lid of a U-Ban can. It was full to the brim with lurid orange fermented piss. Oh boy, she said to the shotgun. As she ran up to her bedroom and put on her coat and gloves, she felt sorriest about her mother. Because no matter how often and how bitterly Enid had complained to her, she had never got it through her head that life in St. Jude had turned into such a nightmare. And how could you permit yourself to breathe, let alone laugh or sleep or eat well, if you were unable to imagine how hard another person's life was? Enid was at the dining room curtains again, looking out for Chip. Denise believed that there had been a scene between Don Armour and her father, but she hated to imagine it. How Don Armour must have loathed himself for crawling to his boss's boss, and trying to beg or blackmail inclusion in the railroad's move to Little Rock. How betrayed Alfred must have felt by this daughter who'd won such praise for her work habits. How dismally the entire intolerable scene must have turned on the insertion of Don Armour's dick into this and that guilty, unexcited orifice of hers. She hated to think of her father kneeling beneath his workbench and locating that penciled heart. Hated the idea of Don Armour's drecky insinuations entering her father's prudish ears. Hated to imagine how keenly it offended a man of such discipline and privacy to learn that Don Armour had been roaming and poking through his house at will. It was never my intention to involve you in this. Well, and sure enough, her father had resigned from the railroad. He'd saved her privacy. He'd never breathed a word of any of this to Denise, never given any sign of thinking less of her. For 15 years, she'd tried to pass for a perfectly responsible and careful daughter, and he'd known all along that she was not. She thought there might be comfort in this idea if she could manage to keep it in her head. She'd never really known her father. Probably nobody had. With his shyness and his formality and his tyrannical rages, he protected his interior so ferociously that if you loved him, as she did, you learned that you could do him no greater kindness than to respect his privacy. Alfred, likewise, had shown his faith in her by taking her at face value, by declining to pry behind the front that she presented. She'd felt happiest with him when she was publicly vindicating his faith in her, when she got straight A's, when her restaurant succeeded, when reviewers loved her. She understood, better than she would have liked to, what a disaster it had been for him to wet the bed in front of her. Lying on a stain of fast-cooling urine was not the way he wished to be with her. They only had one good way of being together, and it wasn't going to work much longer. The odd truth about Alfred was that love, for him, was a matter not of approaching, but of keeping away. She understood this better than Chip and Gary did, and so she felt a particular responsibility for him. To Chip, unfortunately, it seemed that Alfred cared about his children only to the degree that they succeeded. Chip was so busy feeling misunderstood that he never noticed how badly he himself misunderstood his father. To Chip, Alfred's inability to be tender was the proof that Alfred didn't know or care who he was. Chip couldn't see what everyone around him could, that if there was anybody in the world whom Alfred did love purely for his own sake, it was Chip. Denise was aware of not delighting Alfred like this. They had little in common beyond formalities and achievements. Chip was the one whom Alfred had called for in the middle of the night, even though he knew Chip wasn't there. "I made it as clear to you as I could," she told her idiot brother in her head as she crossed the snowy field. "I can't make it any clearer." The house to which she returned was full of light. Gary or Enid had swept the snow from the front walk. Denise was scuffing her feet on the hemp mat when the door flew open. "Oh, it's you," Enid said. "I thought it might be Chip." "No, just me." All of her mother's kitchen knives were butter knife dull. Denise resorted to a carrot scraper. Did Dad ever tell you why he didn't go to Little Rock with Orphic Midland?
No, Enid said emphatically. Why?
I just wondered. He told them, yes, he was going. And, Denise, it would have made all the difference for us financially. It would have nearly doubled his pension just those 2 years. We would have been in so much better shape now. He told me he was going to do it, he agreed it was the right thing, and then he came home 3 nights later and said he'd changed his mind and quit.
Denise looked into the eyes semi-reflected in the window above the sink.
And he never told you why?
Well, he couldn't stand those Roths. I assumed it was a personality clash, but he never talked about it with me. You know, he never tells me anything. He just decides. Even if it's a financial disaster, it's his decision, and it's final.
Here came the waterworks. Denise let potato and scraper fall into the sink. She thought of the drugs she'd hidden in the advent calendar. She thought they might stop her tears long enough to let her get out of town. But she was too far from where they were stashed. She'd been caught defenseless in the kitchen.
Sweetie, what is it? Enid said. For a while, there was no Denise in the kitchen, just mush and wetness and remorse. She found herself kneeling on the rag rug by the sink. Little balls of soaked Kleenex surrounded her. She was reluctant to raise her eyes to her mother, who was sitting beside her on a chair and feeding her dry tissues.
So many things you think are going to matter, Enid said with a new sobriety, turn out not to matter.
Some things still matter, Denise said.
Enid gazed bleakly at the unpeeled potatoes by the sink. He's not going to get better, is he?
Denise was happy to let her mother think that she'd been crying about Alfred's health.
I don't think so, she said.
It's probably not the medication, is it?
It probably isn't.
And there's probably no point in going to Philadelphia, Enid said, if he can't follow instructions.
You're right. There probably isn't.
Denise, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
I knew something was wrong this morning, Enid said. If you'd found that envelope 3 months ago, he would have exploded at me. But you saw today. He didn't do a thing.
I'm sorry I put you on the spot there.
It didn't even matter. He didn't even know.
I'm sorry anyway.